for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, December the 26th, 1999. Summer Family Camp Meeting, the Winter Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the teacher on this.
Waiting if anyone else was coming, but I guess we ought to get started. So we shall. Praise the Lord. I think I was talking to Peg about this morning. I was praying, asking the Lord what do you want me to do, and he didn't tell me at first when I first got up. So I sat down and was still in the bed with my books all around me, and I was just in the natural going after writing some scriptures down, and the Lord began to tell me, show me that I needed to do some teaching. I'm going to start do some basic stuff, I think. But I'm really going to go into binding and loosening. I think I shared a little, some of this the last time I was here, last Thanksgiving. Just I think I did a little bit of everything that one service last time. But I've got some, I don't have new stuff, but I've got some more things on the soul that the Lord's given me that I want to share with you all, but I'm not going to do it today. It's on the physical things that and the curses we're under from our forefathers that the Lord gave it to me just recently. So either tomorrow or the next day, whenever the Lord leads me to do it, I want to share. But I'm just telling you, don't be discouraged if what I'm sharing with you today you already know. But evidently you need it, because I know I do. I was sharing when I was here before about my husband's home going in. So I have to tell this, that for almost a month, he's been gone about 6 weeks, almost a month, I had a real hard time just functioning, and I wasn't binding, and I wasn't doing a whole lot of anything. It was hard to, my mind was kind of just, I quit functioning and whatever. It was really rough. And, so I asked Dr. Noel about it. He came to visit my daughter and I asked him what was the matter with me. I didn't like it. And he said, well, you've let you're exhausted. And being exhausted, and let me tell you this, it's so true. I had forgotten, see, all the things that I should have been doing, I wasn't doing because I was just so tired mentally that I couldn't even remember to do it. But I wasn't binding, and I wasn't rebuking, and I wasn't confessing the word. You know, I confess the word because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if I tell my church, you believe what you say, and so you need to confess the word yourself rather than hearing someone else speak it to you. You know, so, well, I'm listening to scripture on tape. Well, that's good, but it's still better if you speak the words out of your own mouth, because you believe what you say. And as you speak it, you begin to build it in your spirit. So, having said all of that, to just show you that this binding is so necessary that we can't just do it when we feel like it, and we can't just rebuke. The days in which we are in, as Jesus said, the enemy, even the very elect would be deceived if God didn't shorten the days. And I really think that's about where we are. I'm not trying to put a time on anything because I wouldn't even think about it. But what my point is that the forces of evil around us is everywhere you look. And if you don't take your authority, it will try to consume you. Mm-hmm. And so this is, I just feel like this is really necessary. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this afternoon. Lord, we come and asked you, Father, to give us things you would have us to say, bring the scriptures, any scripture I don't have written down, Father, I ask you to just bring it to me, that we might use it to share, that we might walk in the authority and the power that you've given unto us, knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for each lady that's here today, and ask, Father, that you'd give us eyes to see with by the Spirit, ears to hear, spiritual ears, Father, that we might hear and open our hearts, that we might receive by the Spirit, Lord, that the Word will become real within us, that we'll receive it and the enemy cannot steal it. And Father, we thank you for the Word, as we seal the Word to us, that the devil can't take it. And I thank you and I praise you for all that you're doing in our hearts and our lives. And Father, I thank you for strength. And I thank you, Father, for the peace and all that you've given unto me and that you've given unto each of us this day in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for the authority that's in that name. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come in my authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. I bind the strong men in the heavenlies. I bind principalities. I bind powers, wicked spirits in the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. I bind kings and thrones and dominions and all of the works of darkness. I come against every force of darkness that would hinder or harass or try to attack anyone in the name of Jesus. I call for the angels of the Lord. Father, I call for the captain of the Lord's host to go forth to do spiritual warfare for us, Michael and his angels to battle over this ground, over these campgrounds in the name of Jesus. Father, and we stand in agreement praying that and knowing that when we pray, Father, the authority you've given us, that as we pray, that you perform your word. And so, Father, I thank you for the binding and the loosening, and we loose peace now. We loosen us, each one of us, from any forces outside the church or in the church. In the name of Jesus, I bind the strong man in each one of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father, we just ask you now to do a work. Let your word fall on good ground. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I don't know how much of this I'll get through to do, but I'm going to teach just like I'm like to do downstairs. So if y'all will bear with me, and after I get through, if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them. I won't say that I will because I may not know the answer, but we'll see. Somebody else might. So praise the Lord. If you will, open your Bible to Matthew's Gospel. Let's look at Matthew 15. First of all, Does everyone that's up here knows and understands deliverance, right? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
We don't understand
water.
We know
that. Okay, thanks. Excuse me?
I don't exactly understand it.
But you know about it, you.
I know and I accept it.
Good. Well, we're learning, and the Lord is ministering truth to us. I was looking for somebody. Yeah, praise the Lord. But I want you to see this, that deliverance does belong to the children, and we're God's children. And this is the reason I'm going to Matthew 15, where Jesus was talking to the, and it would do if I got over there, Syrophoenician woman, I believe that's who that was, a Canaanite woman, rather. And he said in Matthew 15, in verse 21, says, then Jesus went forth and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came into this out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. We see when a lot of times when people see this, and they say, well, this was an unsaved person. Well, I'll say this before I go any further. As Jesus ministered to her, we'll see what happens. But if you try to minister deliverance to a person that was unsaved, they wouldn't have any protection. Deliverance belongs to God's children, because then we have the name of Jesus, we have the Word, we have the Holy Spirit, we have protection when we cast spirits out. So when someone comes to you and says, well, you know, I've seen this so many times, that when people that need help, you get them saved, and they say, well, everything was taken care of at the cross, so I don't have to worry about demons. Well, that's true. Jesus took care of everything on the cross. He bore our sicknesses, our sins, and he died for our sins and gave us salvation, healing, and all that he gave us there. But my question said, well, you're putting a butt on it. Well, okay. If he did that for everyone, and he did he not?
Yes.
whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then why isn't everyone saved? Why isn't everyone healed? Why doesn't everyone have the Holy Ghost? Because you have to receive what Jesus Christ did for you. And so in Galatians, it talks about he became a curse upon the cross for us. And he was. And so, therefore, because of what he did upon the cross, we can receive everything he did. And we don't have to walk defeated by the devil. So, well, I'm not defeated. Well, praise the Lord, I tell you what, I'm not either. God has restored me. He's put fight back in me. He took away the pain, and he set me back on the path he had started me on. And I'm going to continue walking that walk. Yes, there'll be battles. If he didn't tell me, I wouldn't have battles. But he said, obey me, and that's what I'm doing. And so it is mine, it's yours, and we have to receive it. I could go around and moan and groan and cry over my husband. I miss him. He was part of me. He'll still be my husband. Because even though he's dead, he's still my husband. He's alive with Jesus Christ. His body's in the grave. He's still my husband. But I'm not going to sit here and weep and cry over him. I'm going on about the business at hand. And that's what God wants us to do. I run into women that told me my husband's been dead 6 years, and I thought, oh Lord, and I want to say, get up and get going. Stop sitting here feeling sorry for yourself. Because see, the grieving I have is for me. I miss him. Man, he's there with the Lord, walking streets of gold or whatever. I've had several people this morning, what can you find in the Bible that it tells us about heaven? And they said, very little. I said, I know. Because if we knew too much about it, we'd be wanting to be there, you know. And we're waiting for the Lord to come back. But the thing is that we've got to be about the Father's business. And so you have to receive everything. You have got to receive everything that God has got for you. God's not going to force it upon you. We did some deliverance the other day. Christmas Day. Was that just yesterday? About 3 hours of it. And we were in such warfare. And half the time the individual was working on wasn't receiving it. But we were still working anyways. And so, but you've got to receive. God's not going to force salvation on someone. And so we have to receive everything God has for us. Okay, going on. And in verse 22, she said her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. In verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. My reading of all of this was to show you that Jesus said deliverance. See, she was coming to Jesus for the deliverance of her child. And she was not a believer. She was a Canaanite woman. And he was saying, I'm sent. This belongs to my children. So as we are his children, then deliverance is ours. It belongs to us. But it goes on, and he does what she asked. I'm not going to finish that. But she worshipped him. See, she worshipped him. She made him Lord. You won't worship someone unless he's your God. And so then he delivered her child. So I want you to see, and I knew that thought we might have some that hadn't been up here before, that I want you to know that deliverance belongs to you, if you want it. You know, we have a lady in our church that's been there about 12 years. She's never been filled with the Holy Ghost. And we can't understand it, except she doesn't want it. We have to believe she doesn't want it. Doesn't want to be baptized in the Spirit. She doesn't want the third party of the person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit, and I keep telling her, I said, how in the world do you expect to ever get delivered without having the Holy Spirit? Well, I had a bad experience. Well, that's just no excuse. You know, it's like going, getting prayed for saying, well, I got prayed to be saved, but I didn't get saved. I had a bad experience. Listen, the Word says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. And when you ask for something, God gives it to you. When you ask believing in faith, and the problem is, we have, you know, women, y'all may get mad at me, but get mad if you want to. I must say this. We've become unbelieving believers. We know about the Word. But James says, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. So, and if we don't do the Word, if you really believe it, you're going to do it. You're going to do it because you can't help but do it. When you get so full of the Word of God and so full of God, you got to go out and give it. You got to do what God says. Walk in store praying and singing in spirit. And people look at you and say, what are you so happy about? And I say, huh? You know, you don't realize you're doing it. So, oh, well, when they ask me that, I said, well, it's just Jesus. And they look at me and say, oh, and those nuts. That's what you feel like, the way they look at you. But if they're interested, you can sit and talk to them. Let's go over to, let me give you a scripture in James, and let's read this. As my husband used to say, you all know this. Well, I don't know that you all know it, so I'm going to read it to you. James 1 and verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, Lord, I tell you what, we are so double-minded. I take that back. I have just worked hard not to be double-minded, because I fight anyone that comes against what I believe, that's trying to tell me that this and that and another. Had someone tell me the other night that my husband died because he suffered because he was building up points in heaven. And I can't find that in my Bible. And I said, that's not true. And God didn't kill my husband. The devil did. God's word said that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, this is what I'm talking about. When I come back, I will not sit passive and not give you, go say, show it to me in the scripture if you're going to say it to me. Because I believe the word. I know God's word is true. And whether it's working in me all the time or not, I'm working toward that, because I want it to be, I want the word to be made flesh and dwell in me. Jesus was the Word made flesh, and he walked among us. And everything he did for you and I. He showed us. He was showing us we don't have to sin. We don't have to be defeated. We can hear the Father. We can be one with the Father. Now, I better not get off on preaching that. I was sharing with Peggy this morning at the table. We were talking about everybody. I hear people say, oh, the church is going to be one, you know. Well, the church is the body of Christ. And part of the body is the head. Jesus is the head. It's the hand. And part is the fingers and part is the toes. You know, we're all different. The part of the body is different. And they use that scripture over in John where Jesus said that they may be one, Father, as we're one. I in you and you in me and we are in them. And they're in us. And what I see, what Jesus was talking about, that we would be one with the Father, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when everybody teaches that to me, I think, I don't receive it. I just don't receive it because I don't believe it that way. But anyways, we've got to stop being double-minded, compromising. We compromise. We're afraid we'll offend. And I guess I'm a little bit too quick with this. But I've had to fight for everything I believe, okay? And I get defensive when people try to tear it down and tell me it, you know, that I'm off in left field, that deliverance, you don't have to get deliverance, that you're totally delivered when you get saved. And my thing to them is, hey, come over to my church. I got a few people I'd like you to meet. I know they're born again. But I'd really like you to come over there and cast some of those spirits out of them. I really would. And if they're not saved, get them saved. Oh yeah, I have this vision, you know, of seeing them. Some of these people that are talking this come into my church and dealing with this one, and trying to get them saved first, you know. And then when they say, now you're okay, and hearing what that thing in them is going to say back to them. Praise the Lord. Well, I won't get on that. But anyways, if we're going to walk, if we're going to be delivered, and if we're going to walk in the power and authority of God, we got to get these spots and wrinkles out of us, you know. We've got to get those seven ites out of us. Those seven nations. Man, it's true. There's seven nations. You know. I'm not going to retry to hash Chuck's sermon. That was wonderful. I'm looking forward to it in the morning. But I'll tell you something. Lord has shown me a long time ago there's two kingdoms in us. the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of God. There's the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. And I've been teaching on that for years, so I was just sitting there listening to him, and I thought, oh boy, that's wonderful. You know, I've heard it, others too teach on it. But my thing is, let's cast the kingdom of the darkness out. Let's get rid of it. Let's get that, all of that out of us so we can walk in that kingdom. We want to walk we want a tabernacle. That's what we want, tabernacle with God, that God will be, that you don't see me and I don't see you, but we see Jesus, and that we're walking around and you go down the street and people say, oh, I got to have that, and follow you down and let you tell them about Jesus. Because, see, my thing is, I've been saying the same thing about, we're the only epistle some people ever read. You say, you're a Christian. We're Christians. And you go try to tell somebody, and they look at you and say, but I know you. I know you. And what we've got to do is to be what we say we are and not be double-minded and walk in the world in the things of the Lord. And we do compromise what we believe because we're afraid we'll offend somebody. And the way I read my Bible, Jesus either brought a revival and people got healed and delivered and saved and all this, or they tried to stone him. And I've been there too. They didn't stone me, but they threw me out of the church. And I got some lovely letters from people. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Let's look at that. There's just one verse there I want to use. And Chuck quoted it this morning too, but I'm going to use it anyways. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says, Jesus talking here, and he said, well, in verse 24, he said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other, hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And this goes along with being double-minded. Matthew 6, 24. If we're going to be double-minded and we have friends, you know, I think sometimes our biggest problem is who we sit down to fellowship with. The Word tells us over in the epistles of John that we're not to fellowship. Light and darkness can have no fellowship. I think it's in the Corinthians it says that. But we're not to have fellowship with darkness. And when we do, you say, well, how can I lead them to the Lord? Well, my whole thing on leading people to the Lord is that we try to do it in the natural, and we don't wait till God sends us. When the Holy Spirit sends us, he prepares the place for you to go and talk to them, and they'll receive what you say. But if you go do it in the natural, sometimes, when I was in the Baptist church, and I love the Baptist church, don't get me wrong, when I was in the Baptist church, I used to go out and witness. I mean, I had to go witnessing twice a week. And sometimes I knew people would pray a prayer of salvation, just get rid of me. They wanted me out of the house. They just didn't know how else to get rid of us, you know, because we were insisting you got to get saved. You know, we don't want you to go to hell and all this. We weren't that blunt with it. But I really believe, because we never saw, even if they would come to church, you never saw anything in them. And then next thing you knew, they were gone. So we have done so much in the flesh that we need to wait and listen to what God's saying and do what God says. But until we make up our mind that we're going to be one way, we're going to follow the Lord and not be double-minded and not try to please those around about you. I guess I'm shooting a lot of wild rabbits this afternoon, but that's okay. I always do this. I had been so dogmatic in what I believe because I had to fight so hard because there was a woman to preach. That I guess I always thought I drove everyone away because I insisted, you don't come in my house and bring your garbage in my house. You know, I wouldn't let people come in that smoke or anything. I said, I don't allow that in my house. And I just, what I believe, I say. And so I thought, everybody left. You know, my kids all left and my grandkids left. And I had another thing. While I'm saying this, had this told to me also that, and I resent this terribly, that my husband was taken away so my family would come back together. Can you believe that? Well, I was told that by someone. And I've had it since I've been here in this campground. what happened to your husband was to bring your sons back home. Well, the Lord brought my sons back home before my husband. And You see, you get all kinds of stuff, so you can see why I'm hard-natured, hard on what I believe. And really, people, I don't have a hard heart. I almost got one, but I really went back. The Lord's been using all this on me, too, you know, to what I've gone through and give me time to look at myself and all this. So, you know, when you're blown, you do this. But we have got to stand up for what we believe. The Word says, take heed what you hear. And I hear people sitting on the things that will come, that will say and come against deliverance, and yet they say they believe in deliverance, and they sit and listen to a bunch of stuff, and the next thing you know, the Spirit's in them and saying, hey, you don't need deliverance. You're okay. They just told you you were. And they leave, and when they get away from the church where they are and they're hearing all this, then these spirits attack them, and then they come back over to me and say, hey. And I want to say, go back to them and let them do it. They told you were okay. And you know what they would tell? You know what they tell them when they go back? Well, you didn't believe. If you had been in walking in faith, this wouldn't have happened to you. Now that is not. This is what's happening when people are double-minded. You've really got to stand up for what you believe and say, Lord, you show me and show them. At least open my eyes so I can see and walk the way you want me to walk. And people, we've got to do that. You say, what's that got to do with binding and loop binding? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. I believe this is the one I want. In verse 13 of Romans 6, well, verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So the scripture tells us not to yield unto sin. If I bore you all, forgive me, but let me refer back once more to my husband passing away. I've been mad, and I was mad at him. I got mad because he left. I got mad at God because he went. I got mad at everybody. And I walked through my house, and I was fussing at God, and I was yelling at him, why did you take him home? You knew I was alone. I'd be alone. And I got mad at my husband. Said, why did you go? You knew I'd be alone. And so I had to repent. And I repent, and I said, Lord, forgive me. But it felt better to get it out because it was in there just boiling over. And once I said it, it was gone. And then the Lord could talk to me. And but here he says, don't yield yourself, your members to sin, your instruments to sin. And I didn't want anything between me and the Lord. And if I let that stuff boil up and go over and over in me, it would become stronger and harder to get rid of. And I just know that we need to, when we fail, when we fall, when we miss the mark, or whatever you want to call it, sin, we say, Lord, forgive us. Don't be double-minded and try to cover it up and say, well, you know, it was all their fault. It's always my fault what I do, because I have a will, even though sometimes the enemy tries to take it over. Did you know the enemy tries to bind your will? That's why it's so important that we know how to bind. And I'm getting there, but I'm going the long way around to get there, okay? Over in Genesis, to show you that God gave us a will, in Genesis 2, and I know you know it, but we're getting a refresher course is what we're getting this afternoon. In Genesis 2, chapter 2, and verse 17, you know, God made Adam out of the dust of the earth. I would hesitate now. I'm waiting to see if the Lord wants me to tell you, say this. Okay. God gave us, in verse 7, he said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Our soul and our spirit came from God, and he took our bodies from the ground. I see it this way. I put it this way. I don't have the scripture to back this up. For the over in Genesis 3, we know God cursed the ground, but I believe the ground was already cursed. The dust was because of the fall, the first fall. Excuse me. God made us out of polluted ground, is what I say, and he put a spirit and a soul in us so we could overcome the polluted ground. And that to me, it shows me that God, we're to overcome everything in us. We're to be overcomers. Revelation 21:7 says that we overcome. Let's see. The overcomer is called God's son. I forgot. We sing it all the time in church right now. My mind's blank on how it goes. But we're to overcome. We've got to be. We're wanting to be overcomers, and we're to overcome the works of the enemy. And the works of the enemy we've got to overcome is in us. And so I know I shared this with some people from the mission. I think it was last year or early, whenever it was they first came to the church, I was sharing this in our church. I was studying one day on the ground, our ground being polluted, the dirt we're made out of, and wonder why God made us that way. And, don't y'all ever wonder why God did this and did that? I mean, am I the only one that said, Lord, what'd you do it that way for? I mean, you know, I know he knew best, but I'm just curious. I want to know all I can know. And he said, I gave you a will. You will obey me or you won't. Genesis 2:17 says, for the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, this is back at the beginning. God knew what Adam was going to do. But he gave him a will. He gave you and I a will. But if the enemy can bind our will, he can defeat us. You say, well, he can't do it. Yeah, he can. He can. But he made us, gave us a free will. We can choose to serve the Lord and follow him, or we can go the way of the world. It's our choice. When people tell me they can't make that decision, the enemy can bind your will if you let him. But you can come out from under it if you want to, because we've got authority. And so, this is what he was showing me in the, what he showed me. And as I said, I shared it with this couple that was at our church from the mission. And they went back down to the mission and taught it. And the men that came in off the street could see it and knew it was true. I thought it was interesting because you can share it with religious folk and they go to question it and doubting it and don't believe that. See, my people perish from lack of knowledge and because we reject knowledge. See, God told me that when I first learned about the soul. I said that I never heard such. I've been in the Baptist church all my life. I never heard that. And I heard it in a Baptist church. But the Lord spoke to me and said, don't throw it away. Lay it aside and then dig it out. You got a Bible and you got a concordance, dig it out. I didn't have to do that. I began to see it. He began to show it to me. But the thing is, we have a will and we can either do what God tells us to do or we won't do what God tells us to do. And we get into disobedience and we get into rebellion and then we get into trouble. Okay? Now, let's just flip on over another page in my Bible. Let's go 3, Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, in chapter 3, in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. By the way, that beast that Chuck was talking about this morning, I wish she'd come to my church and throw it out. That woman in my church, she's got that beast in her. And that thing is a monster. And you say, why aren't you throwing it out? We've tried. We can't get her to walk like she's supposed to and stay in the things of the Lord and read the Word and fill up on the Word and all this. And so I got tired and quit. When she does what she's supposed to do, I'll do what God wants me to do. But we had worked with her for a long time. That thing came forth roaring, and he's there, and he controls her. Some of you heard me say a lot of times that we can't separate you from your friends. I'm talking about demons that people don't want to get rid of, you know. I want to get rid of cigarettes, but I don't want to get rid of this one, or I want to get rid of whatever, but I don't mess with this. You say, well, people don't do that. Yeah, they do. She's had that thing all her life, or most of her life. I think she's had all of her life. You know, it just came forward And she had been to all kinds of doctors and everything trying to get help. And he became a friend. The beast did. He talks to her. And he became her Holy Spirit. She thought he was God. He's her God. He's her God. And until she's willing to give her God up, nobody can deliver her from it. That's the sad thing about it. But it's deliverance is so real, and the more that I find that we get rid of on the outside, if you've got a real problem. Now, everyone doesn't have these real problems that some people have, and thank God. But some have been molested and abused as children, and through incest and physical and mental abuse, till these things come in as protectors, is what they call them. I'll protect you. Nobody else will do this to you, and all that, which, of course, is a lie. But through this, you run into people that are more demonized than others that really need help more than other people do. But we know that the devil is out to do whatever he can. So here I wanted to show you that Adam and Eve, which you already know, how they succumb to the serpent, which we do. You don't think that any talked to me in the last month? Well, you're too old to go do this. You don't want to go by yourself. You don't want to live here by yourself. You need to do this and you need to do that. The Lord had given me the scripture, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I knew that, but you know, I couldn't think. I was not thinking. And then the Lord told me, he said, you be about my business. I told you before you were going to do it. Now get up off of that. He didn't say it in those kind of words, but this is what I picked up from what he was saying. Get up off that couch, stop feeling sorry for yourself, and get busy. And I did. So you listen to him. He'll drag you down with him, and he'll defeat you. And so if you are wishy-washy and you're double-minded, the enemy will come in and take over. But we don't have to let him do it. So the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit. He said, lean back up, he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Did God tell you not to do these things? Have you heard him tell you, don't you know you shouldn't do this? He won't say to you, God told you not to do it, but he'll get you to do it and then say, look what you've done. The accuser of the brethren. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, for lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And once you look at that, she looked at it, she saw it, and she wanted it. Being double-minded, walking in the things of the world, we see it, we desire it, and the next thing, we've got to have it. And so that's being double-minded, and we have a will, and say, so we've got to, when we look at it and we see it and say, I don't need that. I went shopping, so to speak, Christmas Eve in downtown. I walked through the store, and I thought, what in the world am I doing down here? There ain't nothing in this place that I need. Got more clothes now that I can ever wear. If I lose some weight, they'll look better. And that's true. I'm going to work on it. I'm promised. After the first year. But, right. But I got to enjoy the rest of the week. See, I'm double-minded. Oh, praise the Lord. Y'all cast out our men now. I'll finish teaching. The Lord is good. But anyways. But the thing is, we see things and sometimes we don't even need them. And we'll go and get them. And what we need to do is say, God, bind the things up in you. I'm going to come into that because I've been learning that I have to bind me. We always bind in the other fellow. But we need to bind this fellow because that's our problem. Joshua said to his people, Joshua 24, I think it's verse 15, I'm not going over there. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. If God be God, serve him. And, you know, as I was saying that, I was thinking about what Jesus said, when you go to build a house, count the cost. Now, when you make a decision to serve the Lord totally and not be double-minded or wishy-washy, remember this. And so if you'll count the cost to begin with, in other words, are you willing to give up everything of the world and walk with the Lord? God will give back to you the things that you need. He always does. And just like my family left when I wouldn't let them bring their garbage into my house, I would not compromise what I believed to let them bring their stuff in my house. They're drinking and they're drugging and whatever else, and living with people they're not married to. Yeah, my sons did that. We would not let them. And because of that, they left us. And I didn't want them back. They couldn't come back like that. And until God got a hold of them, we didn't want them back. We prayed for them. We loved them. We missed them. We hurt for them. My husband and I cried over our boys. But we didn't want them back. We said, God, we don't want them back like this. They can't come back like him. When, in fact, my middle son was in jail for 5 months. I don't remember. And he got out of jail. And he said, I'm going to come over to your house and stay 2 months, and then I'm going to do this and do that. I said, no. His daddy said, no, you can't come. We love you, but you can't come. My other son told him, says, you go sleep under the bridge if you have to, but you get away from mother and daddy. He called up and he got him on the telephone. He spent one night at our house. We told him he could spend the night. And then we told him he had to leave. And my son sent someone after him. And my son runs a mission in Little Rock. And my other son does. And he came and got his brother. And he wouldn't even let him go to his mission. He took him to another mission and dropped him off. He did. You say, you're telling that? Sure. I tell everything. See, if I get it all out in the open, the devil can't use it to beat me over the head with. So my son that he dropped off, he carried him to the Salvation Army and dropped him off. And he was fixing to go in the hospital over here. And he needed some help. But anyways, it's a long story. But anyways, when he came back to the house, it was about 6 weeks later, he came back to visit us. My son that carried him over there brought him back. And he walked in the door. I want to tell you something. When he walked in the door, we saw Jesus. He had gotten saved. God had done such a work in him. He had gotten, honestly, not only had he gotten saved, he got cleaned up. He had all that long hair cut off, had his beard cut off. We looked at him, and I started to cry, and he cried. He said, Mom, I cry all the time. And his dad was so blessed. He got to know before he went home that he had gotten saved. And he told me, he said, come on, I want to talk to you. And we went into the, sat down on the couch, and just he and I, and he dumped me. He said, I knew he dumped me. He said, I've come to the end of myself. And he said, I went in, and they fed him a meal, and said they had church services that night, and said I was the first one down to the altar. He said, I met Jesus. And he cried. He says, I want to tell everybody, but nobody wants to hear. I said, well, you're telling me, and I enjoy it. See, my whole point of sharing this with you is that a lot of things we have to do is really hard. You think it didn't hurt us to turn him away? We had done everything we knew to help him, and it had not helped him. And so we told him he couldn't stay, and God got him. And so we need to make a decision. Are we going to put God first, or are we going to just go on like we've been going on? I don't know how you're going on, but I'll tell you this, that if you're not making God, Lord, Jesus Lord, and obeying him, you're walking down, trying to walk down two roads at one time. And nothing happens in your life when you do that. So, okay, now having said all of that, let's go to Matthew 12. When we make a decision to serve one master, the Lord, and stop being double-minded, and then start reading the Word and doing the Word, we can believe the Word. You see, when we're double-minded, the world pulls us this way, and our family pulls us this way, or one way or the other, and all of these things are pulling on us, and you will give in. at times, and even though you want to be one way, you give in, and so you've got to make the decision and not give in to it. You're not going to listen to all of the things and pray. Listen, regardless of what happens to your family or anybody else, you can pray. That's one thing we continue to do is pray for them, and we continue to walk the way that we know that God wants us to walk. He said, well, God told us to take care of our families. Listen, God loves them better than we do. And he wants them in the kingdom. And if we're in their way by being what the alcoholics call an enabler, God can't get through to them. So he's trying to get us out of the way. Now, you can bind them. You can bind over them. You can bind around them. You can put angels around them. You can use your weapons of warfare to put around your family and all of this. But if you try this and don't believe that it'll work, it won't work. But if you'll believe the word, if you're walking and got so full of the word that you know the word will work, when I pray, I know God hears. Not because of me, but when I pray and stand upon his word, Reba said something to me yesterday about it, and I'm going to throw this in before I go further. Sometimes we pray such soulish prayers that it's ridiculous. Jesus, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray. But we need to pray God's word. And you can't pray God's word if you don't know it. If you don't know the prayer, the word you need to pray for an individual in salvation for your family, you know the ones we stand on. They're ones all of us do. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to saving knowledge of Jesus. So when I prayed to my son, I said, Lord, it's your will that he get saved. And you promised me my household. He said, thou shalt be saved in the house. But the one that I like best was over in Isaiah. It said, my children are taught of the Lord, and great is the peace of my children. And they were living like the devil. But I was quoting this, Isaiah 54. And then the one that says, the word shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor thy seed's mouth, nor thy seed's mouth, henceforth forever. And I said, Lord, that's your word. And you said, heaven and earth pass away, but your word would endure forever. And you said, not one dot, not one tittle of that word will ever fail. So, God, your word can't fail. I know they saved. You see, when we're praying the word, we're praying the perfect prayer. So, and I have people wanting to pray for me, and I'm not real fond of people coming up laying hands on me, people. I'll tell you that right now. And they want to pray for me in my church, and I told them to pray for me. Pray in spirit. Pray in tongues. That way you don't pray your will on me, and you don't pray psychic prayers. You see, we're so prone to pray what we want for them. And if I pray the word of God, it's God's word. It's what God wants for them. And then you can end up by saying, Lord, your will for them, not my will, but yours. And Lord, your will for me, not my will, but yours. And so God wants us to pray and intercede for our family, but he doesn't want us to say, I told the Lord one time I was praying, I was on my knees and I was praying, I was polishing the table and I was down on my knees and I was just to polish it, and I said, my youngest son, I was praying to him, and I said, God, he's doing this, and he's doing that, and Lord, you need to get him. You need to wipe him upside the head. I prayed. I was just talking to the Lord about that, how mean that kid was. And he really wasn't that mean, but that's what I thought, you know, all these things. And I heard the Lord say, leave him alone. And I thought, who said that? I'm by myself. I'm on the floor, polishing a table. And so I thought, well, I just thought I heard that. And I went back at it, and I was doing it again, and I heard it again. And I was telling the Lord what to do to him. And then, and when he said, leave him alone, and I said, Lord, he said, he belongs to me. I'll take care of him. You leave him alone. It shook me to my shoes tops. I'm telling you, it did, because I was praying, God, do this and do that to him. And when the Lord told me he belonged, oh, I got so excited after I got through shaking. I got up off the floor. I went in there, got on the telephone, called my son up. I said, and I was crying. He said, Mama, what's wrong with you? I said, you don't belong to me no more. You God. And what you do, you got to answer to God about it. He said, Mother. I said, well, the Lord just told me you were his and he would deal with it. Oh, it was tremendous. It wasn't any time that boy was in the church and his family with him. So, and he was one of the best deliverance workers. I have to say why he was, because they moved away. But man, he was a tremendous deliverance worker. He believed God really shook his cage too. Oh, I tell you, God is so good. He is so good. He loves us so much, and he wants the best for us. And he has given us so many weapons of war. You know, we're in a war, people. It's good to hear what God wants for us, and he wants us to have it spiritually. But we need to defeat the enemy. We need to pull him out of his heavens, and we need to throw him out and to do the warfare and to help so people can come to the Lord, so they can see what God's power. But we get lazy. Don't we get lazy? I know I do. I get lazy. I get tired of the battle sometime, and then I have to go repent and say, Lord, restore my joy. See, the joy of the Lord is a strength, and I know that I'm losing my joy, and when I get tired, and I say, Lord, restore my joy. And I get up and go to turn. I put on some kind of music that's a little fast, and I go dance and don't have but try. And I said, Lord, I just love you so much, and I praise you. I usually use the gaither or some of their things. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Matthew 12. I did say that, didn't I? Verse 28. Wait a minute. No, I'm back up. I skipped the scripture. And same chapter. Matthew 12, verse 24. And if you read all of this, Jesus was casting this. Well, let me just read the whole thing. Verse 22 says, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? And then when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. But if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? See, our binding in the kingdom within us, when we go to binding, we are binding the kingdoms within us, the nations that are within us. We were doing some deliverance yesterday on a lady, and bound the strong man, went after the strong man in her, and she said, I think there's many strong men in there. And I agreed with her. I think there are a lot of strong men in there. But and then she said, that thing said in her, said, you can't get me up. I said, God can. And he did. And that one. And Jesus said, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now, I'm going on a little further with that, but we're taught of the kingdom much here, and we believe in the kingdom, that the kingdom of God is within us, that the kingdom to me and me is the ruling and reign of Jesus Christ, him ruling and reigning and sitting on the throne of my life in charge. And that's I'm coming. I'm not there yet. I'm coming that way. I'm trying anyways. I'm trusting. But Jesus said, when we cast out devils, it shows the kingdom has come. So he goes on and says in verse 29, he said, or else how can, he says, he cast them out by the Spirit of God. Of course, the Spirit is within us, is a power that frees us and helps us free others. He said, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Getting to the binding the strong man within is the one we want to begin with. Bind the strong man. I have a lady in our church's grandchild has been giving her a lot of trouble. She's raised, her daughter lives at home, and she helps with the child a lot. And she had been binding him, and she finally had to take him to a doctor. He's deficit attention deficit. and something else. There we go. Yeah. And so they wanted to put him on drugs. See, she said, and this lady is a nurse and works in a children with a pediatric where the doctors are, you know, in the clinic. And she said 9 out of 10 kids that come in, they're on medication for this very same thing. And she said, I have bound and bound him, and nothing seems to happen. And I said, you're binding the wrong person. I said, bind his mother and bind his father. The father doesn't live with them, but the mother does. And the mother has arrested development, which I hope I get to teach on up here or downstairs. But the mother stopped growing mentally in certain areas of her life. She can hold a job and she works as a supervisor. But in the common, ordinary, everyday living thing, she is retarded. I don't mean she's mentally retarded. She just didn't grow and mature in that area. And so the real her is bound. And so I said to my friend, I said, bind the mother. Bind the strong man in her. And see what happens to the little boy. And so she did. And then I said, also, you pray over the father. You got a threefold cord from the father to the mother to the child back to the father. And so cut that. Ask the father to cut that. Ask Heavenly Father, send angels to cut that cord, because the word says a threefold cord can scarcely be broken, and bind the transference of spirit. See, that cord, there's like it's a soul tie, really, what I'm talking about, and the spirits transfer from one to the other. And if she didn't bind the mother, then those spirits would transfer into the child. And then the child would go visit his father and come back, and he'd be worse. And so she had to go, you know, all the different ways to cut them off. And so binding is so necessary, but we've got to bind the right thing. You can bind a person and bind, but I found this in my early years of binding, learning to bind. If I didn't get the right spirit by name and bind him, it didn't do any good. I could bind and nothing would happen. So when you bind a strong man over, for instance, say you were going after a hyperactive child. You may be going after rebellion, or you may be fighting arrested development in that child. You just have to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is you need to bind, and what we've been binding is the symptoms. And so God is trying to show us that the binding is so important. If we want to bind in the heavens, we need to we need to bind in the heavens first. I talked about this on fear when I first came here last month. I was having to deal with fear of living alone. And I thought, I don't feel fear in me, but why is it so much fear around me? It just seemed like everywhere I turned, there was fear. And the Lord said, bind the fear, strong man of fear in the heavens over your house. Said the enemy zeroing in on you because of your lack of spiritual authority in my house. And I said, okay, Father, you're my authority, you're my father, and you're my covering. Now, I just believe for you to protect me, because your word says that you're a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widows. I'm a widow and I'm a fatherless child. And I said, I want your protection both ways. And I said, now you're my spiritual authority. And so I'm binding those spirits in the heavenlies in the name of Jesus, so they cannot send those things down to torment me. And then I said, I bind the strong man in me in the name of Jesus. And I will not be tormented, because greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. And God's not given me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And it's amazing the peace that came over that property there and over my house, and how I was able to. I've been there a month by myself. And the only thing I don't like to do is to go when we come back in at night. I said, I got to overcome that one, and I will, because I just never go anywhere at night. Jim and I didn't go anywhere at night, not too much. If, you know, we had church at night, and that would be it. But I want you to know it works if you bind the right spirit. But you can bind and bind and bind every spirit in them until you get to the right one. If you see all this, as you go to binding symptoms sometime, if you'll just keep listening to the Lord as you bind symptoms, he'll tell you who the ruler is and the one you need to bind. Jesus said that, how else can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, lest he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? I taught in our church not too long ago. Let's go over to Luke chapter 11, verse 21. How the enemy wants to come in and bind you from working. And he will bind us sometimes to where we can't hear the Holy Spirit. And it was interesting as I was teaching this, how so many people came back to me and said, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, but I'm always seem like I just can't do it. And I said, well, what you need to do is ask the Father to loose the bindings off of your will or off of whatever it is you're wanting to do. Ask the Father to loose yourself from the bindings that the devil's put on you. Don't you know the devil's out to put all kinds of... God, everything God has given us, the devil has a counterfeit for. If you don't believe that, look over in at the tree of knowledge and tree of life. God made both of the trees. And I've years ago said the tree of life is Jesus, the tree of knowledge of evil, good and evil is the devil. I had nobody tell me that or teach me that, but I still believe it's the devil. Well, it is. It's the devil in us. And so the enemy has got a counterfeit for everything God's got. The Holy Ghost, the counterfeit for the Holy Spirit is the false prophet. The spirit, for me, the spirit acts as the Holy Spirit sometimes if you don't know who he is. But that false prophet is the tail of the dragon that's within and that talks to you and acts like he's God. Over in Luke in chapter 11, checking in the Word and see if these things be so. Now, people, the Word tells us, it tells us that the false prophet is the tail of the dragon over in Isaiah. Chapter 11 and verse 20. What did I say, 21? It says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Well, the greater one, the strong one within us is the Holy Spirit. And if we'll listen to him and obey him, then we keep our goods in peace. You know, if we grieve the Holy Spirit by not being obedient to him, he won't talk to us until we repent of being disobedient. Did you know that? He will not talk to you till you go back and say, I sinned, forgive me. And we don't always do that. And so then that gives the enemy an opportunity to talk to us. He said, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh away, taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divide his spoils. Let's reverse that. Let's turn it around. We're talking about the binding the strong man within us. What if the enemy is coming and binding you and I inside and binding our ability to think, which was happening to me, binding our ability to move and obey the Lord? You say, well, he can't do that. Well, if you give him an open door, he will. He'll walk in. First Peter says, the Satan goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Get too tired sometimes. Get overtired. That's what my problem had been. I was so tired that my mind shut down and I was walking. I was doing because I had to. I mean, I was just walking around doing things because it was had to be done. And because I'd become so tired, the enemy took advantage of me. And that happens. You know, you should never do deliverance when you're extremely tired. Do you know that? I've had people up here get upset with me because I wouldn't do deliverance sometimes when I'm so tired after doing a lot of deliverance. It takes a lot out of you. Of course, I'm young, you know. I should be able to just keep going. I used to could. I've gone all night doing deliverance, I know, but I don't do that anymore. But the enemy, well, that's an open door for him to attack you because you have gotten too tired and you should come aside and rest. Amen? Or owe me one. But I want you to think about this and you... Do you ever sit down and start reading the Word and your mind just won't function? You want to read it, and you might read it and read it and read it, and you really don't even know what it said? You need to come against the enemy that's trying to bind your mind. He's binding you so you can't hear and can't think, and so you're giving him too much power. Well, I'm not giving him any power. He's got plenty. And I don't find anywhere as to where it's been taken away from him. He was anointed cherub. He was anointed one of the leading angels. I can't think of what he was. archangel, I think. I can't remember if he was called one or not. But anyways, the thing is that Satan does have power, and if we're too tired and we're not using the word, see, first of all, remember that Jesus used the word on him. When he came to him and came to test him and try him, he used the word. It is written. And if you think you're going to get rid of him any other way, you're wrong. If Jesus used the word, how else can we? Jesus is the word, so we use the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Evil spirit or devil or whoever. But the word, what I want you to see is the binding. Now, let's go over to, I've got one more, and then we're going to go to Matthew. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. Yeah, 3. You know, I've ministered deliverance to girls that had their will bound and their mind. It all started with incest abuse, child abuse, and they were so frustrated and angry because they felt they're so helpless in what was happening to them, and the enemy would come in and their and we started doing deliverance on them, and it was like peeling an onion. You just get a layer at a time off of the individual until you get down to the part of their personality that was so bound up and had false personalities in there, and their mind was totally controlled by the spirits in the abuser. And it was a demonic force in them doing it. I firmly believe that a man that abuses a child it's curses that are handed down through the family bloodline, and these spirits are there. I'm not justifying, I'm telling you where it comes from. And without deliverance, that's why there's so many abused children in our country today, in our world today. It's because of the sins of the fathers in this area. Those demons are handed down from one generation to another, and they operate. And if it's not stopped, the child that's been abused will abuse another one. It always works that way. And is that right? Well, that's interesting that they're treating it with drugs too.
The mother or the father, you know, we saw these kids have drugs, and even then, the school specialists were saying, "We're going to see this in a few years. This is not just like the children."
Yeah,
that's what we're seeing now.
It really is. That's probably true. This lady that I was talking about was on drugs. We delivered her from drugs, and hers were all prescription drugs, people. But they're still drugs.
That's right.
And her daughter received it. Now the grandchild's got it. But she had, the mother's been through deliverance, and we pray that the daughter will come. She won't. She came back to us when she was little, but she went. She left the Lord, left everything of the Lord out of her life, and we're praying that she'll come back and that we can get this off of her. I believe if you get it off of a mother when the child is still small, that half the time you don't have to do deliverance on the child if you'll get the mother free. We're going to eventually get on some of that about that how it works. But anyways. Let's go on. I'm just about through with this. In Mark's Gospel, in chapter 3, verse 23, I believe is where I was going. He said, called them unto him and said unto them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" I have people ask me, if you're not totally free from demons, how can you do deliverance? My question to them is, do you know anybody that's totally free? Now, there are some that are so demonized that there are some people that you cannot allow to do deliverance until they get deliverance. And most people, I won't let anybody do deliverance unless they've had deliverance. But if you wait till they're totally free, you never have any help. And you got to have help. Because I said, I don't know anybody that's totally free except those that have died. My husband's free.
Hallelujah.
Because when he left his earth suit, that's what he always called his body, those demons left his sleep. They didn't want to stay in his body because he wasn't there. So so they went somewhere and said, honey, I cleaned my house too. I tell you right now, I went right out of my house praying. I get you right here. You get out here in the name of Jesus. I drive out every spirit that's in here in Jesus' name. Because I know that when a person dies, that they, and my husband died at home. But anyways, going on. Anyways. He said, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No man can enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. When you go to do deliverance, you need to bind the strong man in a person before you begin to spoil the house. And we need to remember that we need to bind. Now, how many of you have been doing binding and loosing? Everybody? Well, let me give you a scripture on it. I know that we know about it, and we've talked about it, but I want to give you a scripture with Matthew's gospel in the 16th chapter of Matthew, and show you if you're come up against something really hard to bind, and there are some things that are easier to bind than others, but your binding works according to your faith. Matthew 16 and verse 22. I've told this and I won't tell it now, but how the Lord taught me binding one morning. But your binding works according to your faith. And verse 22 then says, so then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, I'm at the wrong place. I'm too far over. Back up to verse 17. Well, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus had, Peter had just told Jesus who he was. It had been revealed to him by the Spirit of God that Jesus was the Son, was the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him that it had been done by the Father, that the Father had revealed that to him. That's what we're getting now, is revealed word from the Lord through the teachings that are coming forth. And then Jesus said also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the gates of hell, when you're dealing in the demonic world and dealing with spirits, is the power spirits. It's the ones that set in the gate. They're the power spirits, like principalities, the powers, rulers, and also they're those that come from the netherworld, from the bottomless pit, which I believe has been open for a while, like Apollyon, who is a destroyer, the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon that comes out of the bottomless pit. A hunter of souls. Those forces are different kind of spirits than we have worked with before. Like the principalities and powers that are listed in Ephesians 6:12, but over in the Revelation and over in different areas of the Scripture, it talks about the false trinity, which is the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, and they're coming up out of the bottomless pit. I better not go that way. The bottomless pit. Another time. But, well, I will too, because this is what's coming up out of man now. That's why we're seeing kids killing kids, why we're seeing people with no conscience. That I believe that the very worst things in man is beginning to come forth in this day in which we're living. And we need to start binding them. We need to bind them, and people that we know, say in your family, in our families, to bind that bottomless pit. I know the word's talking about it in Revelation 9, and the angel has the key to the bottomless pit, and the pit's been opened, and up out of the pit comes all these different things. The smoke is a smoke screen to cover up and to hide the works of darkness. And this is what happens when people won't believe that demons are real and that we need to take authority over them, that screen, smoke screen's been put over their minds so they can't believe. But God wants us to do warfare. Paul said he told us to war good warfare. He said fight a good fight. Well, we got to fight the fight of faith, and it takes faith to do the work that God's called us to do. And yes, I'd rather teach it. Sometimes we'd really like to teach something besides deliverance, but people, I want so bad for people to understand and believe that they've got authority. And every, I don't know whether all parts of the country was represented here, but just think as you go forth and go to binding in your area, in your hometown, and you bind the powers in the heavenlies, and then you start binding them from in the people around you, in yourself, and take authority over the spirits. We're doing spiritual warfare. We're tearing down the strongholds in the heavenlies. We bind the strong men in people, but we need to pull down the strongholds in the heavens and pull down Satan's kingdom, and we can call for the angels of the Lord to go forth. The Word tells us in Psalms that the angels are ministering spirits, that they minister for, and it tells us in Hebrews that they're minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. But in Psalms it says the angels hearken unto the voice of His word. And that's why I said it's so important to pray the word of God. I think it's Psalms 104 verse 20. I think that's the one. It's either 104 or 103. But it tells us that it's that the angels, they obey the word of God, and God's given us authority to use those angels to go forth. By the way, when you, and I've told this before, I'll tell it again, when you're doing deliverance, if you need to, got a demon that's trying to manifest rough or something, bind that individual to a chair, bind the chair to the floor, and ask for the angels of the Lord to stand around them to hold the chair down. You know, I've seen people I've ministered to try to break the chair loose from the floor so they could get out of it. If they could get the chair turned over, they could get loose. So I just asked the Father to put an angel there to hold them, hold the chair so they can't get out. You say, well, you can't do that. Yeah, I can. It's too late to tell me I can't do it because I've been doing it for years. But thank God for the binding. Thank God for the angels. I thank the Lord for them, because like when I leave here to go home, I travel by myself. No, I travel with me and the Lord goes, and the angels of the Lord encamp around about me, and I ask the angel, for angelic protection around me as I go. And when I stop somewhere, I ask for the angels to protect me, and I ask the Lord to send the angels ahead of me to protect me from any accident or any trap or snare the devil has laid for me. And they're ministering spirits, and we have authority to use them if we use them according to God's word. And people say, well, don't call upon the angels, you might get an evil angel. God's not going to send me an evil angel. The devil would, but I'm not talking to the devil. I'm talking to my Father, and He's got lots of angels. But Jesus told Peter, He said, what you believe about me is revelation knowledge. God has revealed it to you. And because of it, He said, I'm going to build my church upon this knowledge. And the gates of hell, the powers of hell, cannot destroy God's church when we stand upon that revelation knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and the authority and the power He's given unto us. And then He said, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We talk about the kingdom, and we all know what the kingdom is within us, but you hear very little bit about binding and loosing that the keys of that kingdom. And Jesus said it's the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And He told us over, and a scripture that goes with this over in John 20:23, He said, whosoever sins you remit are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain are retained. And if you look at that word remit, it's bound. You bind them or you loose them. When you remit their sin. And I find that you can remit sins of people when you're in deliverance. I've done this when the demon in them will say they hadn't forgiven so-and-so or so-and-so, and I'll just say, well, I just remit that sin in the name of Jesus until you're gone, and they can ask the Father to forgive them. And because they try to use that as a legal hold to stay in. Unforgiveness is a legal hold. But binding is so important, and it's such a weapon. It's such a weapon. I got to tell this on myself. I had a lady call me. I hope she's not here. And said she wanted to come to our church. That her father was a generation Satanist. And I would like to have helped her, but I didn't feel like that I was in a position right now to do it. She wanted to come to the church, and she said her son needed deliverance, and he had renounced Satanism but had gone back in it, and she didn't know whether he had renounced it again or what, but he wanted to come with her. And I said, Father, I don't need this right now. And I asked you to just keep them away till we get strength back and get back on our feet, because the church had been closed down and we just got a handful of people there now. And I just said, I can't keep them away, but I'm going to bind it away until you want them to come, if you want them to come. They didn't come. And I was rejoicing, not because that they needed help, but because I just was not in position right then to get involved in that. And I had been had dealt with that before. And I know what kind of warfare you get in when you get into Satan, dealing with someone who's been in Satanism. And I pray for her, and I pray God will send her some help. She said she knew about deliverance, and I thought, well, that's good. Then you do the deliverance work on your son. That you can do that. You have authority. I mean, if he'll submit to you, you know, he'd probably submit to her a lot better than would me, being a stranger. So, and two, she asked me if I had my husband was in church, and I said, no. I said, I'm a pastor. I am right now. And I'm praying about it. I guess I really don't know what I'm going to do. It's too early to tell. I'm just waiting for the Lord to show me. But my whole point of sharing this is that I had prayed and asked the Lord to keep them away, and I just bound from having her come. And I pray that God will send them some help, send her some help. And every time I think about it, and when I share it, I ask the Father again, just send some help to deliver them. And then later, when a church gets built up and we have some men in there that can help do the deliverance, well, that would be different. But right now we're just a small group, and it would really be hard. But anyways, and I've talked long enough, but I want you to know that your binding works according to who Jesus is to you. That's what he told Peter, because God told me the same thing. He said, your binding will work according to who I am to you. He woke me up and told me that one morning when I had a lady call me that was in real bad trouble, and I had to bind her. And I bound her, started binding her, and I thought, I sure was glad the Lord talked to me before I got into that. I had been binding, but I'd not run into something like I had run into that morning. And so it works according to who Jesus Christ is to you. And if you're just going to try it, it won't work. And if you're just trying to bind, you say, I'm going to just try and bind that, just forget it. It won't work. You can't try God. God might try you, but you don't try God. You ask him. I tell you this. I always quote the scripture as I go to bind. Lord, your word says, whatever I bind on earth. Let me rephrase that. I don't always quote it, but when I feel like I need to, I quote it. Whatever I bind on earth, bind in heaven. Now, I'm binding this. I bind this on earth, and you bind in heaven, according to your word. And I believe when I bind that it's bound, because I've been doing it a long time. So bind yourself. Bind your children. Bind your husband. You say, my husband? Well, and yeah, if you don't believe in binding, bind him. The reason I bound my husband, I didn't want spirits transferring from him to me. And I cut an evil soul tie between he and I. I asked the Father, I said, Lord, cut an evil soul tie between he and I. I've been breaking soul ties between my husband since he's been gone. If I find myself dwelling on him too much, I say, Lord, I just break another evil soul tie between Jim and I in the name of Jesus and free me from him. Because I can't spend my time with all my thoughts on him. And I'm not going to do it. Because it's not easy. It's hard. And when I break that soul tie and I say, I call out to every part of his soul, that evil part of his soul that would keep me in bondage to him, in the name of Jesus. And I get deliverance. I just sit and deliver. And I work on myself a lot in that area. And we have the authority. You bind the strong man and you take authority over it. So I hope what I've shared this afternoon helps a little bit. Now, we'll do some deliverance if you want some. You want some deliverance?
Amen.
Okay. I haven't got a list this afternoon, so I'm going to turn over and get a blank page. If you've got something that you want to add to what I'm going to call, I will write it. I will call it, okay? Has anybody got something up here special they want me to call off? Okay, well, we'll go after that. Let's pray, and then when I start, if something comes to anyone else that they want me to call out, when I get paused, well, we'll get it, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this afternoon as your children. We come, Father, thanking you for deliverance. That deliverance is the children's bread. And Father, I thank you that your word says that when they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. So, Father, we come believing that we will be delivered from the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you for deliverance. And I ask for the angels of the Lord to encamp around about us. And I bind every spirit in the name of Jesus that nothing, no weapon formed against us will prosper, that nothing can stop what the deliverance in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you again for what you're doing and ask you now by your spirit to just do a work in us in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it. And Lord, I ask for the angels as they stand guard that they'll take every demon that comes out to the bottomless pit, and I bind the spirits in the name of Jesus, and we'll bind them there to the day of judgment. I bind the strong man in each one of us in the name of Jesus, and I cut off their power from the heavenlies that they'll receive no strength from the enemy in Jesus' name. And Father, in my authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, I bind every spirit to that authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ, and we praise you and give you glory now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I won't go after unbelief and doubt and double-mindedness, okay? In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirits of a doubt and fear and unbelief and spirits of double-minded spirits. In the name of Jesus, loosen and let them go. Every double-minded spirit, come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break evil soul ties between each one in here and their. And I ask you, Father, to bring their souls back. I break the soul ties between their mothers and their fathers in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, now all the unbelief and man's traditions, we call it off in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out there now in Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.